This is the SML Vaultcast.
Okay, let's fire it up.
All right, so we'll kick it off. I'm small.
I'm large, and that's it this week. Let's see. Let's go down the list. First off, we got to send our best wishes. Bogue cannot be here this week because his fiance was in a car wreck, and he is by her side right now. Minutes before recording, we got a little good news that injuries are better than they initially thought, so that is definitely good news, but we are still sending our best her way and Bogue's way, and we hope to have his furry ass back here as soon as possible. Oh, Huber.
That image. Huber's gay.
Yeah, Huber just sucks.
In the good way, though. We fully support gay rights and Huber rights.
Yeah, he's not that kind of gay. He's like the... No, he's just gay.
Whatever. No, he has band practice because we're recording on a different day than normal.
Yeah.
But he lied to me. He said he would be here. He's a liar.
So he's a boner.
He's a boner.
Huber is a gay boner, a poopy boner, if you will.
A poopy. Oh no, we're bringing it back.
Bringing it back.
Bringing it back.
So let's go over some
news. No, first of all, reader mail. Do we have reader mail?
Reader mail. Let's see. Let us pull up the reader mail account at smallmediumlargepodcast@gmail.com, and you have no mail.
No reader mail.
God damn it, people! Like, send us something.
No. Seriously, you might be rewarded.
Ask us.
Or you might not be.
Something. Like, just how's our day doing? Like, how's your day, Tim?
It's the day. So in the news this week, we had GDC just went by. Was there anything out of GDC that you read that you were interested in, Mr. Large?
Not really. Like, I haven't really kept up on GDC news. Like, the big thing that I heard is all the Metal Gear Solid stuff.
There was the Metal Gear Solid stuff. Now, people are pissed about David Hayter.
Yes, that is a bummer. I'm not a huge Metal Gear fan, but the fact that David Hayter is not returning as Snake.
There's a bunch of haters out there.
Haters?
Well, now there's people are still wondering, like, even though he came out and said, like, oh, I'm disappointed, but, you know, oh, well. This still could be a misdirection by Kojima. And the reason for this, the current fan theory, is that originally in the plot, there were 5 clones of Big Boss. There was Solid Snake, Liquid, Solidus. I don't know if Big Boss himself counted or not, but there was another. There's supposed to be a 5th clone, and the other 4 have been accounted for so far. And in the trailer, there's a line that says, V has come too. Which, like, I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? I'm like, it's more Kojima Metal Gear bullshit. However, V, being number 5, you know, he has come to...
Like Metal Gear 5.
Like Metal Gear 5. Oh, my God. No, it's like he... And it says V has come to, like he woke up. And the trailer's about a guy coming out of a 9-year coma, who we assume is Big Boss.
Yeah.
But if it's the 5th clone coming out of a coma for whatever he was doing, whatever he was off doing this whole time... This could the reason for the other voice actor could be to differentiate the actual characters right now.
Yeah.
So that could be interesting. Hold on, I'm gonna put Jake on the line here. Jake's calling me. This is random. Oh shit, I ended the call. Fuck my life.
You are a champion, Tim.
Yeah, let me call him back. Jake likes video games. He could be a pretend third on speakerphone.
You have to hold it like right to the microphone.
No, I'll put it on speaker. It'll tell me in a little the little thingies if it
comes toast.
Up. Toast. Toast.
Toast.
Yeah, no, it's working.
Yo.
Yo, what's up, bud?
What's up?
I'm recording a podcast right now and have you on speakerphone for the audience to hear.
Are you being serious?
I am being serious.
Well, then I don't want to ask you this question.
Ask it.
Is it about that rash?
No, I cleared that rash up a while ago.
Oh, okay. Just making sure. You want me to call you back?
I have herpes in my throat. Hello.
Herpes in your throat? Not again.
That was from Kurt, but you gave it to Kurt, and he gave it to me.
What are you playing right now, video game-wise?
Borderlands 2.
Which one?
Borderlands 2.
Oh, are you? Where are you at? Okay.
Cool. Bloodwing, whatever the fuck its name
is. Poor Bloodwing.
Poor Bloodwing. All right, bud. Yeah, I'll call you back when I'm done with this.
Yeah, please do, because I have a question for you.
All right, will do. Bye-bye.
That was a fun one-minute-long diversion.
Anyway, Metal Gear. So, yeah, there's a... Now, in the past, Hader has played Big Boss's voice when Big Boss was the same age as Solid Snake. He had also played old Solid Snake because he was the Solid Snake actor, but he did not play older Big Boss's voice in Metal Gear 4. Hmm. Now, there's... I mean, it could be, you know, there could be all sorts of reasons for this. It could just be Kojima saying, oh, I want to freshen it up. Well, if you wanted to freshen it up, there could have been, like, a whole other things he could have also done to freshen it up other than changing one voice actor that's really essential. But I'm thinking that it's honestly because this is a different character completely, and he wants to make sure that people are starting to try and, like, make these theories and pick up on it. He wants to do that classic misdirection like he did with Raiden in Metal Gear 2, which was the first hour of Metal Gear 2 you play with Solid Snake, and then the rest of the game you play as Raiden.
And then everybody got pissed.
I was pissed. I returned the fucking game.
Really?
I got to the final boss, and they force you to fight the final boss with a sword. A sword they give you near the end of the game that I never used. I was like, fuck this, man. I want to choke people out and... I want to choke people out and shoot them in the face if need be. And because I didn't use the sword the whole game, and you forced to fight the final boss with it, I couldn't fucking beat him. I had to learn this whole weapon during the boss fight.
Jeez.
And I'm like, no, I'm done with this. I went up to GameStop and returned it and didn't see the final cutscene for like 6 years.
Till YouTube?
No, actually, probably longer than that. Yeah, till like YouTube. Like, I was pissed, though. But, I mean, it could just be that. So, I'm hoping it's that, because I feel for David Hayter, man. He made that character. That voice is iconic. Yeah. I mean, well, I don't think he made the series, but the voice is,
very iconic.
He is Solid Snake.
Yeah. But, two games. They finally decided that it's going to be two games and not just, like, two halves of one game. And
well, they hadn't come out and said yet.
But there was just such misinformation everywhere. People speculating and guessing.
When they announced the Phantom Pain, the original trailer actually has the indentations in the lettering for Metal Gear 5. So Metal Gear 5 is the Phantom Pain. Game.
Within like an hour after that trailer ran, people figured that out.
Well, then the ways they figured it out were like nuts too. But Ground Zeroes and the Phantom Pain are also supposed to be... They're either the same game or one's a direct, like, prequel to the other one.
Yeah.
Or they're, like, they're going to come out as separate titles, but their plots are intertwined. There's, like, a whole bunch of crazy, like, theories about that, too. Because now there's two full Metal Gear games announced, and they haven't said, like, if they're part of the same or what the hell's going on.
Wasn't he quitting the Metal Gear series, like, a decade ago?
He originally said that he was... And this is... I've never heard anybody else talk about this theory, but he said he was going to not do Metal Gear anymore when 2 came out. And which is why I think Raiden was brought into existence, was because he wanted to hand off the characters to somebody else. And by introducing this new character, he could step away and say, that can be yours. You know, do what you want with this new character. Solid Snake is done. I'm done. You know, that plot, you can do, you know, I'm going to set up all this stuff and you can do whatever you want with it. It'll be a new, you know, there'll be a new Metal Gear unit. There'll be all of these crazy things happening that you can run off and tell stories with. And then Metal Gear 2 was such a big hit that they're like, oh, well, you know, the company wanted him to do another one. So it's like, all right, well, I'll go back and do Big Boss. So they did Metal Gear 3. And then they're like, well, all right, well, we're going to do one. It's going to be on the PS. The new PlayStation, though, you're going to be able to do, you know, whatever with it. We want to make something revolutionary.
95% cutscenes.
So they convinced him to do another game, and he decided to once again try to write himself into a corner by making Snake prematurely age, you know, fucking 900 years. which that, mind you, created the best meme ever from an E3, other than the, like, the Ridge Racer one. which is the picture of Solid Snake from the trailer putting a gun in his mouth to shoot himself, and then with the PlayStation 3's price tag photoshopped into it. $599.
How did I never see that?
Oh my god, it's a fucking mess. But no, I think Kojima tried to write himself into a corner so he could step away from the series after that. Because he knew that he'd just keep fucking doing it if he didn't try to do something. So
yeah.
And it's so funny, you play that game and it's like, oh, this is going to be Snake's last mission. And then the final fucking cutscene, all 9 hours of it, is basically him being like, well, maybe it's not my last mission. You know, oh, Big Boss is still actually alive. He was never a bad guy to begin with. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Like, make up your mind.
That's the thing that I think has hurt the plots. I love those games. I love them to death. I've played all of them. Even the Game Boy Color one. I love that one. But it's, like, he's twisted the plot so much for what I assume is to try and get away from that game series, creatively, that he's ended up hurting the game series by making it just too much of this backpedal.
Too convoluted and complicated. And...
Well, even the convolution of the plot isn't bad. I mean, I actually think it's really interesting when... what he did with it to make it confusing with in Metal Gear 2 when they brought up things like the La Le Li Lulo and the Patriots and all that. Like, it was original. It's like, what is going on? What is this? And he really did a masterful stroke in Metal Gear 4 with all the faults that game has as being a game and a movie in one. I mean, he cleaned
there
up
there was
that.
A game to it?
Yes, there was a game. It's a few hours in, but you get
to the
game.
I don't believe you.
But hey, you don't have to play it as far as Final Fantasy 13 for that to actually become a game. He took all of those crazy, ludicrous plot threads that were hanging around that didn't make any goddamn sense for years and years and years, and he wrapped it up and put a fucking bow on it and said, here's one of the greatest stealth action games you'll play. And yes, there's long-winded cutscenes in it, but by the end of it, the whole series will make sense and they will deliver, like, in amazing amounts, they will deliver all of the fan service you could have ever wanted. Did you play any Metal Gear 4?
I played, I want to say, like 3 or 4 hours of it.
All right, well...
And it was just too much...
Did you play Metal Gear Solid, the first one?
Years upon years ago.
And did you beat it?
No.
All right, well, quick run through why Metal Gear 4 was nuts for me. Like, the game was good. They were explaining, like, who the Patriots are, what the big deal is, what was Liquid / Ocelot's plot this whole time. And they made all that make sense into, like, this interesting world domination plot, basically. And there's one point in Metal Gear 4, though, that sealed the deal that it was, like, an amazing, amazing game for me to play, which was they realized that the villain needs a railgun to shoot this, like, satellite out of the sky. And they're like, where could he find it? Where could he get a railgun? And they're like, Snake, like, looks over at the guys and he goes, Shadow Moses Island. And you're like, what the fuck? That's where the first game took place. And you're like, so they're going to go find the old broken Metal Gear from the first one that he blew up. And he would salvage the railgun from it. So you actually go back and you go through all of the areas of the first game that are now abandoned and, like, all snow-covered.
That's cool.
And Snake has a dream before he gets there, like, when they're on their way. And the dream is you actually play the opening sequence of the PS1 game in the PS1 game's graphics. and then he wakes up and you're there. And you're like, oh, shit. Like, and then... You have a fight with, I think it was Vamp. It's been a while since I played. Before, in the Metal Gear's, like, housing area. And you fuck his day up. And then you get in Metal Gear Rex. And you pilot it out of the fucking complex. And then Ocelot shows up in Metal Gear Ray. And you fight in the fucking Metal Gears. It becomes, like, Armored Core. And I was, like, I was shitting a brick at this point. This is, like, the last few hours of the game. And you're just... If you played it in huge, like, chunks at a time, it becomes so absorbing if you really enjoy the Metal Gear plot that you're just like, I can't wait to see how this ends.
I'll be honest, in the PS1 days, I was all about RPGs, so okay. I didn't really spend too much time with Metal Gear.
Is that because of this?
What, the neck beard?
The neck beard.
I have more than just on the neck, you dickhole. I got a full beard going on.
Actually, speaking of it, there's my old Metal Gear Bluetooth headset, too.
Oh, nice. It's
a little sitting over there randomly.
Fucking throw it at your head next.
You'll miss and hit the $1,000 monitor behind me, and I'll fucking choke you out. You'll see a skinny
guy
fight.
As you're crying.
Yeah.
As you're crying. So, the other big news is PAX happened.
PAX happened.
And that's also why we didn't record last week, because you had the PAX plague.
Well, yeah, so Thursday...
Patient zero.
I might be patient zero of the PAX plague. We get to, Thursday night, we get to our hotel, and we have a normal convention ritual. It's just, we sit in the hot tub for about 9 hours at a time. And, if it's Otakon, we get mega drunk. It's hot tub drunk machine.
Oh, God.
Which makes us drunk even faster, which is real bad. Because then all of a sudden, we take a sip of a drink, and it's like, what? Who are you? It just gets drunk fast. Drunk o'clock. But no, we get in the hot tub, we're hanging out. We realize that there's a huge pile of fucking snow out on the balcony outside of the pool. Because the pool had this huge, like, outdoor balcony on, like, the...
This sounds like a horrible idea already.
So, me and my buddy Jake, who called earlier, go out and we start diving in the snow.
Oh, Jesus.
And we're rolling around in the snow. And we're soaking wet in our swim trunks. And then we run back and dive in the hot tub. And then we do it again and again and again. And I knew I'd been feeling a little sick earlier in the week. But I think that this is what the virus needed to push itself over the edge and take me over. So, I wake up Friday morning like, fuck, what's wrong?
How'd you get sick? Yeah,
very, 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 very sick. It was like a flu and a cold mixed together, but instead of nauseousness, I was just coughing like...
So it was a clue? Was it a raging clue?
It was a raging clue, but it was like, I would cough and I would have to like lean on something because I would knock me over if I started coughing. So I'm wandering around PAX spreading my disease rampantly.
So Kyle, if you got sick... He's the motherfucker that did it?
Yeah, if anyone who got sick at PAX and got something that's like a mixture of a cold and the flu, my bird. And it sucks because I enjoyed the hell out of the con, but I didn't get to do as much as I wanted.
Oh, I'm sure a lot of other people eventually enjoyed the hell out of it, too.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. I did the Ace of Speed Building contest. I hit like a 3 minutes 30 seconds or something on the speed build of the computer. Which I probably could have done a little better if I wasn't, like, trembling from being ill already. I fought a professional StarCraft player on accident. I was going to play Stefano, who's a really good player from France, one of the top players in the world. And I kept losing the rock-paper-scissors matches with the other people trying to play him. So, eventually, one of the other guys who I was watching play, who was a beast, I can't remember his name, I did not want to play him. They're giving away like computer hardware if you beat them. Jeez. And I'm pretty good at StarCraft, so I was trying to play Stefano because he was trolling people. He was doing shit like building base defenses and trying to kill people with the buildings, like funny stuff. It's stuff you can have fun with and appreciate.
This would be so much funnier if I was a StarCraft
player. Yeah, it definitely would. But so the announcer goes, all right, well, I'm going to jump in and play, let this guy over here get a lunch break, which was the guy I was watching that I did not want to play. So I'm like, and somebody steps in to be the current announcer, one of the other helpers. And he's like, all right, so who's going to play him? And I'm like, me. And he's like, all right, this guy right here is going to go play in control. And I'm like, what the fuck did you say his name was? And I'm like, oh, no, I've watched tournaments of this guy whooping people. And I'm like, oh, no. And I've been here, like, being an ass the whole fucking time. So he's, like, when StarCraft starts, you have a building and you have a few builders that go out and get resources. And you start with 50 resources, which can build you one builder.
I just want to take a second before you get further into this that you make fun of me for the fact that I haven't shaved recently,
yeah,
claiming I have a neck beard,
yeah,
yet you're the one who probably jerks off to StarCraft tournaments?
No, I jerk off to the statue of Kerrigan, the Queen of Blades that they had at BlizzCon the 1 year. Girl is fine.
Lay you down.
So then
a quick shout-out to Pablo Francisco for being awesome.
So... You start out with a building, a few builders, 50 resources, which you can build one builder with. And normally you build your one builder, and you kind of sit there. Maybe you send a scout out to like the other with one of your builders, you send them across the map, and have them look around, find where your enemy is. And it's known that StarCraft players use the keyboard a lot for their hotkeys. And in the middle of a game, it'll look like they're typing away with one hand. I've seen videos.
My mind can't even comprehend what the fuck they're doing. Yeah,
like, I understand what they're doing. I'm not on that level because I want to know what women feel like. So, I...
While they're doing this,
yeah,
you're using that finger somewhere else.
DJ Diddles.
Rock the turntable.
We're built at the point where the only thing you can do is maybe send a scout out and build your first builder. And this dude's just going nuts. And I look over at him, and now, mind you, I'm, like, deliriously ill, too, because it's a Saturday, and I was like...
What the fuck is he doing? If you can't do anything...
I don't know. I looked over him, and I looked over him and go, are you fucking typing your thesis? And he smiled, and I got a good jump on him, but then he whooped me, because after my initial attack, I was like, oh, I'm fucked. Like, I can't even concentrate on what I'm doing right now. So, and then I just trolled him a little bit. I lifted off all my buildings, because the race I play can make their buildings fly. And I landed them in his base, started trying to build in his base. Like an asshole. But, what else? I had a moment at PAX, where I was at the Double Fine booth, and fucking Tim Schafer comes and sits down next to me. And then the guy who created Cards Against Humanity stands next to me and starts going through some of his shit, and I'm like, like, this is crazy.
I should have had you pick me up the new pack.
The what?
The new expansion.
For Cards Against Humanity? I have two of the promos I can give you.
Ooh.
I have A and C sitting in my room. I picked up extras. And they're funny. What else happened?
One of these episodes, we're just going to have, like, 6 or 7 people here. And we're just going to record ourselves playing Cards Against Humanity.
One of the things that I didn't like about PAX... PAX was a fantastic convention, but... I went to the NVIDIA panel, which was great. I talked to, like, the CEO of NVIDIA. Really cool people. Gearbox panel was amazing. A lot of fun. They gave away a lot of stuff. They really seemed to care about their fans, which I liked. But the one thing I didn't like was the Riot Games people, League of Legends people. They were assholes, and, like, I understand that, like, they probably, I mean, they had a shit ton of swag they were giving away, but they're asking people questions. Here I am, sick as a dog, and I want a lanyard. I want a lanyard that says support on it, because I play a support character right now. And they're like, alright, well, who's your main support? I couldn't remember the character's fucking name. His name is Thresh, but, like, I couldn't remember the champion's name. And I'm like, oh, what's the guy with the speed, with the scythe and on the chain, and he spins it around, and they wouldn't give you the swag if you didn't answer the question. And, which I understand they're trying to only give it to fans and stuff. They don't want people selling it on eBay. But, like, I'm like, oh, I know this, and I couldn't remember it, and they wouldn't give me the fucking thing. So I had to wait, and I was like, when somebody goes, oh, it's Thresh, and I'm like, yeah, it's Thresh. You know, I love the new champion. I've been playing him since he came out. And I'm like, all right, cool, you know, can I have the lanyard? And the guy, like, stares at me, and I'm like... You know, can I have the lanyard, please? Yeah, and then he finally, like, reluctantly gives it to me, and I'm like, all right, whatever. And then later, they're giving out these Teemo hats. Teemo's one of the other champions. Really want the Teemo hat. My buddy plays Teemo. I was going to give it to him. I think it would be really funny, like, him sitting at work. Teemo, like, shoots these little poison darts out of, like, a tube.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there just imagining my coworker at work fucking wearing the hat, and he, like, sneaks up behind the counter and just goes, like, shoots, like, a fucking... spitball at me or something. I thought it'd be really funny, so I'm like, I really want this hat. And I go over, and the guy is, like, outright ignoring me at first, and I'm standing right in front of him. And I know you're asking all these... he's only really asking fans who are in his direct line of sight, and I'm like... Yeah. I'm like, yo, what do I gotta do to get the Teemo hat? He looks at me and then looks away. And I'm like...
Wow.
I'm like, what the fuck? And then, like, a few minutes later, he's like, alright. You know, he's like, I'm gonna ask, you know... Yeah, here's what we're gonna do for this Teemo hat now. And he's like, we're gonna, you know, and he asks, like, the most stupid, difficult questions that only somebody who knows, who does nothing but play that game would know. And I'm like, what about the guy who's a fan, who's a casual fan? Like, you're not gonna give somebody, like, anything, I'm going to have to do... I saw people, like, mauling these people for swag as they walk out of the back room with, like, the box of things. Wow. People were running over and taking it from them. They're like, wait, hold on. I was kind enough to not do that. I was respectful enough to not do that. And I was going to try to play their games to get the swag the way I wanted to. But you know what? Like, I feel like... And just like playing the game, because I stopped playing League for a long time because of the shitty player base and the shitty the way that I feel that they treat their fans a lot of the time. It's like, look, why not do something for the little guy? Why not look at this guy who's obviously distressed and sick and run down from this weekend? You know, maybe you couldn't tell because I look good. But maybe just look at the kid and be like, you know what, here. Because that's what I would do. I do that shit all the time at my store. Yeah. Somebody's hurting or whatever, I'll knock a few bucks off a game so they can get it, you know? Because sometimes that's what matters, is that little customer service to be like, yo, you know, I've been asking people these hard-ass questions all day. Here, have a fucking hat, man. Hope you have fun at the convention.
Yeah.
Like, they're giving out these really cool pins that look like the upgrade seals that you use in the game.
Yeah. You should have just fucking clocked them and choked them out and taken the hat.
I should have.
Fuck him.
Some of the pins are only giving out to cosplayers. Me and my friends have been planning League of Legends cosplays for a while now. If I had known, I would have thrown together a little cosplay so I could get a cool pin. Nope, I can't get it. And now I have to wait maybe a year for another chance. If they're eBay. Still doing that. I haven't seen them on eBay yet. I've been looking. But I love swag that is something like it's a seal that's in the game. Yeah. I like things that are in the game that actually exist that they've made like real life equivalents of.
I'm guessing you couldn't track down one of those Rock Band tour shirts, huh?
I didn't see any.
Son of a bitch.
And Hubert went to the panel, which I wish he was here because he could talk about that. He had a blast.
I was all excited to hear about the Rock Band panel.
Next time we'll have him talk about it.
Today, because we're recording a day early on Tuesday this week. Today is the final day of Rock Band DLC. Fuck off.
Is it another Nickelback song to add to your Nickelback collection?
That still sucks that someone bought all the goddamn Nickelback on me.
I think that's
such a shitty thing to do. But no, final song was American Pie by Don McLean. And
what was it called? What was it?
American Pie.
Oh, who cares?
You're a dick.
I'm a dick. But yeah, overall PAX was great. If anybody ever gets the chance to go to PAX, go to PAX. It was a fucking... I mean, it was a blast otherwise. I wish I wasn't sick so I could have done more things and ran around more of a madman. But and went to more panels and things like that. But sadly, you get sick. Shit sucks.
And the shittiest part is, like, I wanted to go to PAX so bad... Mm-hmm. Like, you offered me a room,
You should have went.
I had no pass. I couldn't get a pass. And then, like, 3 days before PAX, my editor, Kyle, was like, oh, well, you should have asked me a while ago. I could have got you a pass. Like, you son of a bitch. Why couldn't you have told me this earlier?
See, that's one of those things that you write an article about it. You'd be like, yeah. I want to go to PAX. This is why. And then you could do that as an article about PAX and what goes on.
He's urging me to try to go to PAX Prime. I just don't think I could actually get to Seattle,
If he needs somebody, if you need a guy to go to PAX Prime, because I lived in Seattle. I know the convention center. I've been to PAX Prime before. I have friends out there. I just fucking fly out. It's $300 round trip, bro. Well, like $350 round trip.
Yeah, I'm fat. I would need like 4 seats.
But no.
I'd need an entire row.
I'll throw it at Kyle. I'll be like, yo, if you want me to go to PAX Prime, I'll go to PAX Prime.
I'd love to go.
PAX Prime is the best one to go to. Boston was fucking nuts, but I like Prime a lot more just because of Seattle, mostly.
Yeah.
I love that city. I love that city to death.
You gotta go to MAGFest. That's what you need to
fucking
do.
I need to stop being a scraggly motherfucker and go to MAGFest.
January. Start prepping now.
Well, I don't know where I'm gonna be in 2 months, 14 days, so...
Yet you're dying to go to PAX.
Well, because I might move back to Seattle. That's one of the options right now. Just move to Seattle and get a job with Microcrack.
Man, is this podcast going to be over that fucking quick?
No, I could still... I mean, we could set up the Skype-ins at that point if I don't... Well, I mean, that depends, too, because I got to... You know, I'm supposed to talk to Kunal. I don't know where he's at.
Come on, Kunbag.
Yo, Kunal. Yo, bro. I got my resume ready. I bought a fucking outfit for an interview, and I'm ready to... I got to call him tonight and be like, what's going on? Am I coming? Am I going? So Joe also beat Tomb Raider.
Yeah, finally. Finally had time, sat down, finished off Tomb Raider.
What did you think?
I loved it. I thought the game was great. The only really shitty part about the game is the multiplayer.
Oh, the multiplayer is so bad.
Oh, my God. And I'm an achievement guy. I like getting my achievements. And the fact that they put a quarter of the achievements into multiplayer just sucks. And I was close to getting one of them. I'm like, let me just get these few easy ones. I'll call it a day. The one was you had to play a mode of each of the four, or play around of each of the four multiplayer modes.
Yeah.
Went through three of them. The fourth one, nobody was playing. At all. I made a lobby and sat there for 20 minutes and not a single fucking person joined.
Wow.
It's just so clunky and shitty. I hated the multiplayer. It's an amazing single player game ruined by forced multiplayer.
I definitely agree. I really enjoyed the game and the multiplayer. I played it for like a minute, and it was like Dead Space 2's multiplayer. It was just like, you sit there and you laugh at it for a minute, and you never go back to it ever again.
I don't understand what they were thinking, just tacking it on for no reason. Yeah. And that's all the DLC is. It's just fucking maps for multiplayer.
That's just fucking horror bad.
It's just.
Wow, so
left a bad taste in my mouth.
Back to PAX real quick. I did swag collect a lot, because that's one of the fun things about... I came back with two enormous bags full of swag. The Elder Scrolls coins that I have are going for over $100 now.
Holy shit.
Coins from the after party.
Yeah, you gotta show me some of the cool shit that you got there.
On the bay. Sorry, Bethesda. Might need to sell your shit. Tomb Raider, though, I recommend that game all day to people, just because it was really, like, that's how you do a remake, that's how you do a reboot of a series in modern days. You look at what's working and what fits, and you improve on it to the point of what the technology can deal with, and I can't wait to see where they go with the series. There were some sections of that game that just blew my mind, too, like the hanging ships on the dock, near the end of the game, there's like a ship suspended in the air on all of these like giant rope systems, and you're fighting on that, and the ship's like falling apart.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, this is wild, you know?
It was gorgeous. Yeah. It's definitely a lot more cinematic than I would have expected a Tomb Raider game to be.
Well, also, what I liked about it is it didn't felt forced. Like Uncharted, when you get to a cinematic moment, it always felt really, really, really forced to me.
Yeah.
And Tomb Raider did a better job of making it not feel as like, as force is the only way I can put it. Like I really like the Uncharted stuff, but it always felt like, oh, you have to climb here to proceed. Whereas in Tomb Raider, because it was semi-open world, it felt like, oh, man, I could go over here, or I could go over here, or I could go over here. Like, it felt less...
It wasn't like funneled. A straight path in a wide-open jungle.
Yeah, or like, here's a street. You have to go up the street. There's a wall, a waist-high wall blocking your path. You have to climb up over on the far side of the building and shimmy across. I mean, there were moments like that, but it wasn't nearly as, like, funneled.
Yeah.
And forced as Uncharted does it. And I think Uncharted now needs to step up its game if they want to compete with the new direction of Tomb Raider.
I like the sense of exploration in Tomb Raider too. Like a lot of hidden shit to find.
A lot of hidden shit. And the tombs were really cool too. I like the little, like, if you want to stop shooting people for a minute, go to a tomb. And like try to figure out it. And you feel they're pretty fucking clever too.
Yeah, and when you finally get one, you're like, wow.
Like
that was really cool. I feel good about accomplishing this.
Yeah.
Not many games make you feel good about solving puzzles anymore.
Yeah, there's a few of them where I sat there and I was like, I felt like an idiot. Because I'm like, this can't be as fucking as difficult as this feels right now. Like, I have to be able to just fucking blow right through this. And then when I figured it out, I'm like, yeah, I'm a fucking idiot. It's so easy. I just didn't see it. Oh, well, another thing about Tomb Raider. People complaining about her having infinite rope. Incorrect. How do we not know that she's just bundling back up the rope that she shoots each time?
The ones where she ties it off and crosses over.
Hey, we don't see her like untie it. She could.
But when you come back, it's still there. It's always there forever. Although
I'll forgive it.
I do really enjoy the fact that it doesn't matter how far the distance is. She always has the appropriate length.
The appropriate length of rope. Perfectly.
It's just great planning.
She goes shoot and then goes boop and it's done.
maybe it's just like a compacted turd from being stuck on it.
Maybe it's like parachute cord. It's like all wound up so tight that she actually has like 16 miles of rope.
It's hair. She it's just
hair. So
her leg hairs.
Oh no. the other big release was Bioshock Infinite, which I told Joe to beat, and he said something about boners, and he couldn't.
Well, I finished Tomb Raider, and then my buddy Jay wanted to do Gears Judgment with me, so I did that. That was a blast.
Was it good?
Everyone is complaining about the lack of horde mode in this game, but single player is pretty much campaign horde mode.
I heard it was really good, and I was like, oh, well, whatever.
It's instead of, you know, a long 20-minute chapter back to back to back, it's just like bite-sized missions one after another.
Yeah.
And it makes the game just breeze along and encourages replayability.
Because
there's different declassified things where it changes up what you have to do. Like, some levels, there will be, like, dust or fog that you can't see, or wind will be blowing you around.
Different conditions and stuff. Yeah, and, I like that.
And it changes it up and makes it fresh. And unlike other Gears games where you'll spawn and then you fight these enemies every time you die, it's the same enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, if you die, instead of a grinder and a bunch of tickers, it could be, like, four boomers and a rager. And it just changes things up and keeps it fresh.
Yeah, so
I had a lot of fun with it.
That's good. I hadn't heard too much about it. My coworker got it, played it, beat it, and then that was it.
It is short.
The game exists.
It's really short, but it's fun.
But yeah, I did beat Bioshock, and I really enjoyed it. I have a few little gripes about it, but the good things I can say about it is it really feels like Bioshock 1. Like, it gives you that intrigue. Not as interesting as Bioshock 1 was, though. The first time you play Bioshock 1, though, you're like, you are enveloped in that game. You are just completely consumed by the world and what's going on. You're just so, like, interested in what they created and how original it felt. Because they don't really make too many games like that. And I liked how they played me in Bioshock 1, because I'm like, I'm just a guy. I don't want to be here. I'm not trying to be here. I just want to get the fuck out. I want to get out. Cause you think, like, oh, I got in this plane crash. I'm good. And then it's like, where the fuck am I? And I thought that was really neat, how you find out that you are actually supposed to be there. Like, it was all a setup. Without giving too much away for anyone who hasn't played the first Bioshock.
Oh, that's years ago. Fuck
them. Hey, still.
If they haven't played the first Bioshock yet, they're not going to.
Bioshock Infinite, though, does something similar where they pit you in the lighthouse and they shoot you up to this fucking city in the sky. But immediately it's different because there's no civil war going on. You're in this, like, town and you're trying to be kind of under the radar a bit.
A parade and a carnival.
Yeah, and I thought that was kind of neat. It's like, oh, this is a town. But I didn't have quite the same sense of wonder as Rapture. And I don't know why. Even after beating the game, I just was like, I feel like they didn't do enough, maybe, with all of the floating buildings. But, I mean, it was varied, but whatever.
See, so far I really like the layout of Columbia, because it feels like a big city instead of tunnels here and here and here and corridors and hallways.
Yeah.
It feels like a big open city.
It definitely feels like a big open city, but part of my problem with that is that, and you might see this as it goes on, is it does feel disjointed after a while, because you'll see off in the distance, it's like, oh, there's lots of buildings over there, you know, and there's, like, lots of this over there.
Is it somewhere you never get there?
Well, no, like, you persistently are moving through different sections of the city, but it feels like you can't gauge how big the actual cluster of Columbia is. Like, I just felt like I was in these instances of sections of the city, I kind of wish that it was open world. And I expected all these skyline things. Mm-hmm. I expected them to connect all of the city together. And one of the things that disappointed me, it was fun as shit. Like, from a gameplay standpoint, I loved it, but I just wish that design, it connected all of the city together and it was more of an open city. Because there are times where, like, oh, you could find this here and you could backtrack, and it tells you in the game. I never found the things to backtrack. I didn't even know if I could. And I was more interested in finishing the plot than I was going back to see what was in the safe now that I found the cipher or the key or whatever. I'm like, it's probably just going to be 300 fucking silver dollars or whatever, you know? But the sky hooking was fucking awesome in fights. Once the fights really get going and you have an area where they have two of these things looping around, where you'll get in a fight and it's like Batman. You run up to somebody and, like, duff them out, and then you quickly jump up on the sky hook, swing all the way around, jump down on a guy, shoot another guy, then you're back up on a different sky hook. Very fun, but it felt like it became a gameplay gimmick after a while. You could see what they wanted to do with it, but it became a gameplay gimmick.
Maybe next gen will be powerful enough to do what they really want.
You know, I don't think it was a problem of power with this. I think it was a problem of their vision of the game was this way, and they realized that it was very difficult to make an open world shooter like this work within the confines of what they had. Their vision was just so broad, and that's why the game was delayed. Because I'd read some articles about how they had talked about the game is great when it's scripted, but when it's unscripted, all of a sudden you have problems. And you can see pieces of both ideals as you play through the title, where you can see, like, oh, you're walking around the city, and you'll see, like, you know, don't take this item because it'll be considered stealing. And if you do, the guy in the, you know, behind the bar might pull a gun and try to shoot you. And then all of a sudden all the citizens are running and whatnot. But it seemed there was often times where, like, you'll be in this area, and then you might get attacked. Like, that's, you know, they find they're looking for you, and then all the citizens will scatter. You could do something, and then the citizens might fight back, which I thought was interesting. But the areas where there's major gunfights and major populace felt segmented from these open world, you know, you're wandering around looking at town sections, which I think what they wanted to do was they wanted all of this in one big breathing world, and they just couldn't do it because it's a very fucking hard thing to do.
Yeah.
It's a very hard thing to do and have it be a game that works right. I mean, look at games that try to do that, like Fallout and Skyrim and stuff.
Yeah.
They are buggy as shit and are difficult to sort of set up. But, what else? Oh, the handyman thing. You haven't fought a handyman yet, no. Right? Now,
I definitely need to put more time into the game.
I didn't know much about them going into this. I tried to stay away from BioShock Infinite trailers and stuff for as long as I could. So when one came at me, it kicked the shit out of me instantly because they're not like the Big Daddies. The Big Daddies are passive most of the time unless you fuck with them.
Yeah.
And I expected these guys to be the first time you see one in the game too. It's like on display. It's like a citizen that they're showing, like, oh, this is a handyman. Look at the wonders of science. And I expected them to not be fast. They are very, very fast. They use their hands to, like, leap at you. And I have two huge, huge things I didn't like about the game, and one of which is the handyman. Because every time you fight one, I did not enjoy it at all. Because they are on top of you, and they do, like, an area of effect attack, and then they slap you, and pretty much you're dead. And that pissed me off because you basically have to, like, find a pillar and kite them around the pillar. You run around the pillar, turn around, shoot. Run around the pillar, turn around, shoot. Run around the pillar, turn around, shoot. And I'm like, this is not fun. Like, I really like the design of them, and I think it's interesting, but, like, I tried different vigors and stuff. The crow one will, like, make them, like, stop for a second and try and swat at the crows.
Yeah.
Fine. I ran out of salt so quickly because I didn't upgrade it. It's not my play style. The shock didn't do anything to them. The crows didn't do anything. I couldn't knock them up in the air with, like, the one knock them up in the air thing. I didn't try all of the vigors, but it seemed like they were impervious to nearly everything, and they were very difficult to deal with, and I was, every time one showed up, I was more disappointed, like, fuck, I can't deal with one of these fuckers.
Could it be the difficulty setting you were on?
I did play it on hard, but I mean, even if it's on easy, they're still going to attack you the same way,
yeah.
And it's basically, It's the same gripe people have with corridor shooters, where it's the AI might be dumb and just run at you all of the time. They're going to keep running and running and just blindly attack you. That's what these things do. There's no tactics about it. It's just, you know, if you're here, he's going to jump up to you. And then as soon as he's on the roof with you, you need to get off the roof, because next thing he's going to do is jump on you and slap you. My other gripe is there's a point in the game, spoiler alert, where you fight the ghost of Elizabeth's mother. Now, first thing that pissed me off, and a big recommendation, is when you go to the graveyard to find Elizabeth's mother's grave, go directly there. You have the option to proceed and walk around the rest of the city and then kind of explore. There's enemies over there that you can fight, that you can go through the stores and whatnot. Don't fucking bother. You're going to have to go there anyway. I think you're going to have to go there twice in a big circle. And you have to fight Elizabeth's mother, I think, three or four times. Something like that. And it is a really fucking annoying boss fight. And you have to do it three or four times in different areas. And what you have to do is, so her ghost appears, raises the dead around her. Like all of these soldiers and stuff. And they seemed a little tougher than normal. Might have just been the difficulty level. And every time you kill them, she'll come over and raise them up again. So if you try to get cover, they will, you know, of course, like, and it's a lot of them. They will come over and start swarming you. I was using a bunch of outfits that I will do massive damage to somebody. I was using the sniper rifle the whole game and just headshotting everybody. I would headshot a guy, kill him. It does an area of effect stun shock. And then I could usually take out two more people. I was dropping large groups of people, and she would come over and start raising them up. The only way to beat the boss fight is you have to kill her. And when you get close to her, she does an area of effect attack to knock you back and hurt you. And it fucking basically takes your shield right off that you get.
Man.
And then, so basically, like, I will kill a bunch of dudes, and I will start shooting her. And they are constantly trying to come at you because they're just dumb AI. So you usually get surrounded by these things. You slaughter a bunch of them. She comes over. You start unloading on her as she's casting her, like, res. She will area of effect you and then raise the dead. And as soon as you kill one of them, she'll come over, area of effect you, raise the dead, and do it over and over and over again to the point where it was just like the handyman fight where you have to basically sit next to her, take a bunch of damage to shoot her, and then run away, and then kill everybody, and then she comes over again and does it again and again and again. It's so fucking obnoxious. And the fact that I had to loop the city, like, a few times, and have to fight her more than once, I was infuriated. That's, like, right near the end of the game. And
yeah, that sounds shitty. I hate when developers have to take a cheap way out by just having
padding.
Annoying bosses instead of actual entertaining, innovative bosses.
See, there could have been easy game design to fix this, which is just make each boss fight have some sort of gimmick to defeating her instead of having to unload mindlessly into her.
Yeah.
Like, maybe...
It's like the Deus Ex boss battles.
Which they're correcting, actually.
Yeah,
did you hear
only
about
for the Wii U version.
I think it'll get re-released on PC, though.
Yeah.
I'm expecting a director's cut. Because it happened with the original Deus Ex, they re-released it with extra content.
I guess we'll see.
I'm hoping. I'm crossing my fingers because I just sold my Wii U. But
Quitter. Gave up on it already.
I think it's gonna drop in price, so I'm probably gonna just get one then. Like down the line when the new
system
comes out.
What'd you sell it for?
$150. Yeah, it's what I paid for it. So. But anyway, they could have done something easy, like have her be a different color. The color corresponds to a vigor. She has a weakness to this vigor. You know what I mean? And then you, let's say she's, you know, blue right now. Hit her with the shock. It'll stun her and, like, put her in a state that where she takes more damage. You know, she's red now. You hit her with the crows. The crows will stun her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They could have had something just to make it, you know, make it a little easier. And those design changes that I just suggested wouldn't be difficult to implement.
Yeah.
They would have literally changed the color of the model, and then they could reuse one of her spellcasting animations for her, like, when she's starting the thing to be slunched over and take more damage, you know? Really, like, that's off the top of my head. I'm not a game developer. Hey, Kunal, help me. I'm not a game developer, but I understand that it would be difficult to overhaul the entire boss fight, but there are ways around it to make it not as fucking tedious, especially when you're that close to the end of the game and things are really starting to pick up. Other than that, though, the plot of that game was excellent. I love the game. I enjoyed playing through all of it. I think that it's one of those games, just like Bioshock 1, that if you like a shooters at all, you should play through it. If you like video games at all, you should check it out.
Yeah, everyone's given nothing but rave reviews for the game. The one I saw was everyone's asking when video games are going to have their equivalent of Citizen Kane, but when will movies have their equivalent of Bioshock Infinite? Like, they're saying this might be, like, one of the games of all time.
I don't know about it being one of the games of all time, because the gameplay is good, but it's not perfect.
But the message is still there.
I think a lot of people will relate Bioshock Infinite to films and give that out because of the plot, and you'll understand once you beat the game. They really do a good job of hinting through the whole game of what's actually happening and give you... I mean, there's no way you can potentially figure it out with certainty until the end. But, I mean, and there have been... there actually have been plots like this already done before, but this one just does it on such a really interesting level that it would make a great, like... God, if HBO did, like, a 6-part miniseries... like a Bioshock Infinite miniseries, it'd be fucking awesome. You know, like,
and if HBO did it, you know, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, HBO does good shit. But I mean,
Game of Thrones.
You can't. I don't think you can do a movie of a Bioshock game and have it. Maybe Bioshock 1, but not Infinite, because there's a lot more. The plot is a lot thicker than Bioshock 1. I mean, Bioshock 1, you crash the plane, you get into the city. I mean, if it were a movie, it would be that. Like, it would start with the same way the game opens up, but there'd be more of the character, like, physically talking to people and wandering around. It'd be much brisker pace, and the plot twist is a lot easier to adapt to a film and have the game just sort of, like, build up to its climax. Bioshock Infinite would be tough. I don't know, maybe, but I think you would lose a lot of the atmosphere of the game then. I don't know. We could discuss it next week.
Yeah, hopefully I'll get more time to play with it this week. I just picked up Defiance today, too, so I'm sure between that, Bioshock, you'll laugh at me for this one, but Tiger Woods.
Bag it. No, Tiger Woods is actually, I played the shit out of Tiger Woods 13 when I worked in Allentown. Me and the guy down there, every week, we would play it for basically 6 hours straight.
Yeah. And I have some gripes about this year. Like, it feels a lot clunkier and slower.
Really?
There's just a lot of glitches.
How can golf be clunkier and slower?
No, like, even just the menu screen. It takes 30 seconds just for, like, press start to pop up.
First world problems.
Well, I don't know if it's because of the Kinect integration, which Kinect needs to just fucking go away.
It's not.
But that...
I'll tell you what. Right now, Kinect sucks. But, I mean, I think the next version of it will be a lot... more...
Well, we'll find out later
acceptable.
This month. We'll find out later this month.
Are they going to announce stuff this month?
This month is supposedly the next Xbox press conference, like the PS4 had.
Are they... So. Was this officially announced? I didn't read anything about it.
Yeah, they... I don't remember when, but they have some
Joe's
kind of media
liar,
event planned. No, they have some media event planned. I don't remember the date.
I would imagine this month would be the month to do it.
Yeah. But I'd imagine this is when we're going to find out.
Yeah.
The rumors that have been floating around online so far are things I'm not too excited about.
Well, I have faith in Microsoft, so I have faith in Microsoft because of the fact that they even have a successful gaming console.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think it's the best console on the market right now for a home console. Best console on the market, period, though, is probably the 3DS.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not too impressed with the PS4 so far, mainly because all the shit that you've bought on PS3, you're not going to have on PS4. So ball's in Microsoft's court, but that'll be later this month that we'll talk about that.
PS4 is a very good upgrade on the PS3. I think that's honestly, like, that's all I'm asking for is I just
hate the absolute 100% lack of any kind of backwards compatibility. All this shit that you've been buying for years is gone.
But, I mean, that's only if you trade in your system. your previous system, which...
People don't want to have 40 systems hooked up to their TV.
But you're not going to play 40 different systems all the time. You might, but I mean, I think it's a very niche thing. We get a lot of people that come in my store and they want a backwards compatible PS3, and I'm like, well, you know, how often are you going to play PS2 games? They're like, well, I'm not, but I want to have the option. And I'm like...
See, I actually do want to play PS2 games, so I want a backwards compatible PS3.
Well, here's the funny thing about it, too, is people are willing to pay upwards of $100 more for a backwards compatible PS3.
Yeah.
Which we don't sell them. We actually sell them cheaper than the Slims all day long by a decent margin because of how faulty they are. Because that's why they took out the backwards compatibility originally, is it's very fucking difficult to engineer. The people will pay upwards of $100 more for something that they can go, they could buy a fucking PS2 for $48.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, the PS2 is not a difficult system to throw on a shelf and let it fucking sit there. Yeah. It is the size of a goddamn DVD case.
My thing is, all my save files are on my PS3.
Yeah, and I can...
And you can't put them back on a PS2 memory card.
I can understand the gripe, but understanding the engineering of these systems, I realize how difficult it is for them to do.
Yeah.
And that it would... I mean, like... They would have to have, literally, like, some of the best in working PS3s that were backwards compatible had basically a PS2 sandwich in there with them.
Yeah.
And the lasers would burn out all the time because that was their compromise. They tried to, like, have this wacky-ass laser in there to do it, and the PS2 lasers were never fucking reliable. But now it would take down your whole console. So, like, I understand, man. It's really fucking hard. And once we get past this kerfuffle of going into digital... Once everything goes digital after this next generation, it's not going to be that big of a problem. Yes, guys like you and me are going to have to probably rebuy the things that we cherish and maybe replay through them. But any of the people younger than us who are just coming into this as it being natural are going to be able to go into... I mean, this is the beautiful thing about it. They'll be able to be like, wow, man, this fucking, you know, Earthbound, if that it comes over.
Japan just got it on the Wii U.
They'll probably bring it over eventually.
I don't know.
It's a matter of time. But, like, it just as a random example, they'll be like, oh, man, you know, I've heard on the internet that this is one of the games I should play. And they'll be able to log into whatever system they have, and they'll be able to download it, and they'll be able to play it, and it'll all be cloud-backed up or whatever. I mean, it's a scary future because of the unreliability that can come with a cloud-based system that a company is running. However, I mean, the fact that it would be there legally, money would be going to the people who deserve it most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we're going. And it's like the digital front that is becoming so important with the mobile games and whatnot. There was an article on GDC about how the big companies don't matter as much as they used to anymore because we're going into this digital frontier. I mean, guys like friend of the podcast, Kunal, you know, are making their own game, they coming together with a group of people who are talented, and they're making their own game, and that's awesome, because now all the people who know what they're doing with these games, who we know what we want, can go out and stop being all talk and actually make the game.
Yeah.
You know, if we want an RPG that has an open world, we can go out and make an RPG that has an open world. We don't have to sit there and wait for Squeenix to realize, oh, fuck, man, maybe people don't want pretty graphics and hallways. Like, maybe they want towns and be able to ride their chocobos. Like, maybe that's what people fucking want. Yeah, Square. Fuck you. Fuck you in the ass. I'm so mad about that.
Yeah, what about them saying that Tomb Raider selling over 3 million copies isn't enough?
Yeah, see, that's a huge problem.
Development costs are getting insane, but this is something we definitely should use a completely different podcast on.
Where are we at here? We're at 6 minutes, 24 seconds.
So we have only recorded for 6 minutes.
No, what the fuck is happening here?
Maybe an hour 6?
Yeah, I think that we're over an hour.
Or 106?
Something like that. Well, no, it says 0 hours, 6 minutes, 40 seconds. We must have gone over an hour on it.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have a short podcast because there's only 2 of us.
Well, this is what happens with you and me. We get things done, Joe. Get shit done.
We talk. We discuss. Oh, and since you're Mr. Dark Souls, did you hear what this week's free PlayStation Plus freebie is?
Is it Dark Souls?
Demon Souls!
Oh, that's funny.
Free this week for PlayStation Plus. So go get a free game and get your ass kicked, and then email us at smallmediumlargepodcast.
Check the mail. Let's see if we got any reader mail since I put that post up.
I like how I was trying to say the email name, and you just cut me off.
I just cut you right the fuck off. Our listeners know. They know.
So smallmediumlargepodcast@gmail.com. Let's see. Refresh. You have no mail. Please enjoy your day. Fuck you, listeners.
Hey, listeners. Fuck you.
And email us, you assholes.
What's playing us out this week, Keyboard Cat?
Our eventual all viewer mail special is not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, we need that.
But this week, in honor of Ashley sitting over in the corner playing Animal Crossing half the episode, we're going to go with Po Su Yan's song, Purty Old Days. That you could grab that off of ocremix.org. Nah, enjoy it, and we'll see you next week, hopefully with more than two people.
Yeah, right?
Well, well! Samba time! Bossa and the samba are so close. Most of us don't know the difference. But what I'm going to do today is the samba with the Afro Cuban. That's right.
Is a gay boner, a poopy boner, if you will.
A poopy. Oh no, we're bringing it back.
Bringing it back.
Bringing it back.